Now, you don't often hear sermons on the Psalms, and the Old Testament is also less common. But apart from the fact that I think you might be overstuffed with bread, the lectionary makers set six gospel readings in a row on a theme of bread at this point in the year, in ordinary time, to make it extra challenging for preachers and for organists. Now, the Old Testament and the Psalms speak so eloquently of home, God's home, and our being at home in God. What is the difference between a house and a home? What does the word home mean to you? What feeling does the word give you? Now, Tony and I could not be more different in our experience of homes. He was born in the house that his father and his grandfather was born in. Maybe in the same bed, I don't know. Whereas I have lived in four countries, three continents, and I've moved house over 23 times. I'm only British through a marriage of convenience, you know. You may identify with one of us more than the other, depending on your own life stories. But whatever your story, that word home is in a very emotionally charged one. King David longed all his life to build the God he loved a home, a grand building that could somehow encapsulate the greatness and the majesty of the God he loved. Now, for various reasons, he wasn't able to do it, and he passed on that dream to his son, Solomon. Solomon, who was so famed for his wisdom that the Queen of Sheba came to listen to him. He wrote the Book of Proverbs and other wisdom texts, and he had a long and a peaceful reign. He was also famed for his wealth, and he used it well and generously. He took his father's dream of building a house, a home for God, and he got the finest craftsmen, the finest materials that he could lay his hands on, and he built what is known now as the first temple in Jerusalem. If you think of our finest cathedrals and times it, not by size but by grandeur, by 10 or 100 times, you'll kind of get an idea of what this temple looked and felt like. Soaring stone, gleaming wood, gold, silver, and bronze sparkling from every corner. It came together in his lifetime, and today's Old Testament passage that we heard describes its opening and its dedication. When the Ark of the Covenant that had been in the tented tabernacle since the Israelites escaped their captivity in Egypt was brought into the Holy of Holies in the very heart of the building. God's presence fills the temple in the form of a cloud so powerful that even the priests had to run out the door. I think that's quite funny, actually. Then Solomon stands before the altar and he spreads out his hands to heaven and he prays aloud for everyone to hear. Now he knows that God is far too big to live in this house. He says, "Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built." But he pleads that God would keep his eyes open day and night towards this place where God has placed his heart and his name, that everyone who entered, local or from far away, would meet God there. His earnest, heartfelt plea could be echoed for this smaller temple of St. Mary's Bolney, that this house of God would be a home, a warm, welcoming home, where anyone who comes through that door would meet God and would know themselves found. This house of God, which for well over 1,000 years in various shapes and forms has held the tears, the heartbreak, the laughter, the celebration, the hopes, the dreams, and the prayers of the people of Bolney and its surrounds. Today's Psalm 84 wasn't written by David. It's called a pilgrim psalm, sung by pilgrims travelling through dry and dangerous wilderness towards the temple. Jesus may have sung it when he was 12 years old on his first pilgrimage from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And it speaks of a deep heart longing for home, to be at home with God in his dwelling place. And let me just read it to you again with that thought in mind. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar, O Lord of heaven's hosts, my King and my God. What joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord God of heaven's hosts, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. O God, look with favour upon the King, our shield. Show favour to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to live a good life in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what's right. O Lord of heaven's hosts, what joy for those who trust in you. It's a psalm, as I said, that touches on our deepest yearnings in our hearts for home. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. And that isn't about buildings, grand as the temple might have been. It's about longing like the sparrow to find our home in God, here in the now, not just in the life to come. A safe place where we can entrust our greatest vulnerabilities. The restless swallow and the teeny insignificant sparrow can make a nest to lay her young. Now, between the time that Solomon stretched out his hands, standing by the altar, pleading for God to be known by all in that place of encounter, and Jesus travelling through the lonely desert singing this psalm on his way to Jerusalem, the temple had actually been destroyed and rebuilt twice. But there was no ark and there was no Shekinah glory in the temple Jesus knew, which was called the Second Temple. A lot less God and a lot more rules. A lot more religiosity and a lot less worship from the heart. Women were only allowed in one bit, and foreigners in the another outer court. And if you were disabled, you were diseased, a eunuch or an amputee, you weren't allowed in at all. The doorkeepers, of which there was plenty, weren't welcomers as in Solomon's temple and David's dream. They were bouncers, designed to keep people out rather than encourage them in. Remind you anything? But let's get back to this lovely psalm. A pilgrim psalm for all of us who are pilgrims on our way home. What can it say to us of finding a home in God, either in this building and this community of St. Mary's, or allowing God to be at home in us? It gives voice to our deepest longings for home in God, whether we've ever actually put those into words ourselves or not. A place where we can lay our deepest vulnerabilities and fears, our worries, our doubts, our wobbly self-worth, and our wonderings about who we are and if we're acceptable. The pilgrims who sang this psalm travelled through the valley of Baca, the place of weeping, and found their tears turned into a place of refreshing springs. Now, our own pilgrimages through life, each completely unique to each of us, pass through many valleys of weeping, many deserts where perhaps our faith is low or gone completely, or where we may feel lost or just going through the motions. Now, the promise of the psalm is not that we won't go through these deep places of pain and loss, but that even in the desert places where we feel furthest from home, shelter and comfort, God can and will nurture us with refreshing springs to give us the strength that we need. And joy is one of those springs. What joy for those who trust in you. Joy isn't reliant on outward circumstances or the strength of our trust. It's a deep underground stream that bubbles up from the ground of our being, God himself. Emmanuel, God with us, in all the bits of our journeys, the hard bits, the good bits, the boring drudgery bits, and the rest. Emmanuel, God with us, spirit, soul, and body, touching our weary spirits with his peace, lifting our heavy souls and carrying us in his faithfulness, fueling our flagging bodies with his joy. Joy in knowing we are loved, inside and out, just as we are. No facades or pretenses. God's beloved. Now, if we long to be at home in God, it is nothing compared to his longing for us to know ourselves at home in him. His arms outstretched, it is one of the deepest longings of God's heart. If we long and pray that this house of God, St. Mary's, would be a place where God dwells and where others find him, it is nothing compared to his own longings for that to happen. Now, if you remember nothing else about this sermon, take away that if we long to be at home in God, it's nothing compared to God's longing that that would happen. For the Lord is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing. That's nurture. To nurture us as individuals who are known and loved by God. And to nurture us as the people of God in this house where he dwells is what God wants more than anything. To pour his love into our parched souls so that we can pour it out to others. To fill this place with his presence so that we all can be doorkeepers, throwing wide the doors to welcome others home. He calls us home to himself every Sunday as we are invited to this table. He calls us home to himself every morning as we wake, whatever our day holds. And again, as we close our eyes at the end of the day, perhaps full of worry and fears. His eyes are always upon us, as in Solomon's prayer. They never close over us. And his arms are always extended, wanting us to be at home in him. I'm going to play you a piece of music in a moment that I want you to listen to. But before that, I want you to hear in words an invitation from God in a perhaps less familiar tone that you might think of in God's voice. It's by a friend of mine called Liesl Graham. If I were God and I called myself love, I would make sure that I always had your favourite tea in the cupboard. Your favourite meal would be on the range, warm and ready to be dished up. Your bed would have soft sheets, laundered and smelling of fresh young fern leaves. And seated at the fire with my nose in a book, I would wait until you were ready, until you found all the sure-footed, soft signs leading you home. On that day, upon your arrival, I would say, "There you are! I've missed you so much. I see you've brought some guilt with you. Please put all of it down. Leave it outside. Yes, yes, there, right by the bins. Don't bring it in. There's no place for it here. Come, come inside, out of the cold with you. Come in and sit down by the fire with me. Sit here in the comfortable chair. Just mind the cat. Do you mind me knitting while we catch up? You're just in time. There's freshly baked bread and dinner is ready. Smell that. Oh, I'm so glad you're home. Pass me your cup. Let's have some tea." Now listen and pause to the words of a very ancient hymn and let God sing it to your heart.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tender, Jesus is calling, calling all sinners, come promised,
promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, He has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come.
Calling all sinners, come.